a few moments this evening, I'd like to consider the topic of the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And to get our thoughts started, I'd like to read from John, the 14th chapter, verse 26, to introduce our topic. John 14, 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." The name that is given to the Holy Ghost in this verse is that of the Comforter. And I would like to study a moment about what it is that he comforts. We want to investigate the role and function of the Comforter. The questions that we want to address are, what comfort does he provide? Who is he comforting? And how is this comfort manifested? Or how is it revealed? How do we know it's happening? In this study, I'm going to start with a given. The given is that the names of the Holy Ghost are synonymous. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God. And as I say, for this study, we'll just assume that they're the same. And perhaps at another time we can study why that is. We won't go into that today. The word comforter in this opening passage comes from, or is the Greek Strong's number 3875, which is parakletos. Parakletos means one who pleads another's cause before a judge. Counsel for the defense, a legal assistant or an advocate. And we might even add the word lawyer or something along those lines. It also, in the widest sense, means a helper, someone who provides succor or is a succorer or an assistant. When we look at the Greek word parakletos, it's a compound word, or at least it's a word that has a prefix on it. The first part is para, which means close beside, and it is from this that we get the word parallel in the English, but it means close or nearby in the context that we're using it. Many of these prepositions in Greek have multiple meanings, but in this context, it means close beside. And then the second part of the word is kletos, and means called or invited or summoned. And so literally, the word parakletos means called to one's side. And it is that is the name given to the Holy Spirit. And one of the differences between the biblical use of parakletos compared to how it might have been used in Greek society at the time is that in the scripture, it is a personal relationship, a personal advocacy, a personal helper, whereas might have been the case to charge for the professional services as we would expect to pay for a lawyer today. But it is clear that the role that the Holy Ghost spins and provides for us is at a personal level, not in a professional sense. So the first thing we want to consider is the advent or the coming of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is eternal, just as the other parts of the Godhead are eternal. But we are specifically addressing his role as Comforter and how that is portrayed and given to us in Scripture. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 16, we read, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." In this verse, we find that Jesus, speaking, is saying that he would pray to the Father and have the Comforter come. He says, "I will give you another Comforter." This word "another" is important for us to understand in this context as well, because This comes from the Greek word allos, which means another of the same kind. It is different from another Greek word, heteros, which means another of a different kind. And so he is saying that the comforter that he is requesting will be very similar to the comfort that he, Jesus, has already been providing. And so Jesus self-identifies as a comforter. And we're seeing here that Jesus is requesting another comforter, speaking of the Holy Spirit. And we won't turn here, but we can also find in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, that God is a God of all comfort. So we find here that the entire Godhead is one of comfort and provides comfort. And again, it's this personal, non-professional type of comfort that we're speaking of. And we're going to investigate just exactly how all of this fits together. In John 14, verse 18, he says, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Jesus speaking here, so his concern was that his disciples not be left without guidance and comfort and the type of help that we all need. He says, "I will come to you." So again, Jesus self-identifying as this comforter and also not willing that his disciples be left to by themselves. In Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14, we read, "In whom ye also trusted, that after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." This passage speaks about the fact that the Holy Spirit will be our comforter forever. In verse 16 of the previous reading in John 14, he says he will abide with you forever. But we also find here that he's speaking about the gospel of your salvation. Salvation will happen in eternity. And he says here that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. From this, we can deduce that the comforter will provide this comfort and it will not end. So what are some of the roles that the Holy Spirit will provide in this comfort? Is it the type of comfort that we may give to each other, a shoulder or an arm around those shoulders? Let us look at what the scriptures tell us about the roles that the Holy Spirit will provide or will perform. In Romans, the 9th chapter, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost." The passage here indicates that what the Apostle Paul was saying was the truth, and that the Holy Spirit would support that truth. So from this we can see that part of the role of the Holy Spirit is to show and testify of the truth. He would not have been witness or given testimony on Paul's behalf if Paul had been telling a lie. So it is the truth that is testified of by the Holy Spirit. In Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 11 and 12, he says, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." Jesus was directing his disciples to go out and spread his message, his gospel, to others and go in front of magistrates and powers and into the synagogues to present this message. And he told them that the Holy Ghost would direct their teaching and tell them what to say. While that may not be carried out in the same way today of the Holy Spirit directing our very words, I do believe that the precedent is set for us to understand that the Holy Spirit does guide us in our thoughts, especially as we prepare to teach others. So the Word of God, the Spirit of God, comes to our minds through the influence and the direction of the Holy Spirit. Another of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to remind us and reveal the knowledge of God. In this passage here in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verses 10 through 13, it says, "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." We are to be reminded of the things that the Scriptures tell us, and to reveal what those passages mean to us. And it is the work, the role of the Holy Spirit to do that. It says here that the God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And then we find in the last part of that verse, of the last verse that we read, verse 13, that it is the Holy Ghost which teaches. So these are some of the roles that that we find attributed to the Holy Spirit. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 26 and 27, we find that he helps us in our weakness. These verses say, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is involved in helping us through our weakness, not necessarily a physical weakness, but our inability to do certain things as we should, or as we in some way. And so these weaknesses may be presented in a way such as not knowing how to word our prayers. And it is the Holy Spirit that intercedes for us. He steps in and picks up where we've fallen, or where we've fallen short. So he helps us in our weakness or our inabilities. In Acts, the 9th chapter, verse 31, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." So this presents to us yet another role that the Holy Spirit has, and that is to provide comfort in the growth of the church. When we see the effect of spreading the gospel to others, we see how that, when properly done, there is evidence of growth. And it says here that in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. So it was spreading with the body of Christ, or the church, was expanding and growing. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." There are several things that are listed here, especially in verse 2, that tell us about the work and role of the Holy Spirit, in that he will provide wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, or power, and the spirit of knowledge and the removal of fear. Or at least, or actually in this context, the word fear has to do with reverence to the Lord. So these are all the things that that we can see here so far of the role of the Holy Spirit. The second question that we asked was, who will the Holy Spirit provide comfort to? How who can expect to have this aid or this assistance, this advocacy? And as we look at the scriptures, we can find the answer to this question. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." He tells us here that those that mourn, those that are brokenhearted, those that are captives, are the recipients of this aid provided by the Holy Spirit, this comfort that he is speaking of. Because he says there at the end of verse 2, to comfort all that mourn. So that's who can expect to receive this help from the Holy Spirit, the comforter. We find also in Isaiah 57, verse 15, others who can expect to receive this comfort. This verse says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The word contrite means remorseful or penitent. So those that express penitence in their life and are remorseful for the wrongs that they've done, the sins that they've committed, these are the ones that can receive the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is setting the stage for us to really understand better what the way that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is revealed, and we'll get to that in just a moment, but it is a certain type of individual that will receive this comfort. In John 15, verses 26 and 27, it says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Well, if he's going to be known as the Spirit of truth, it is the truth that he is going to, or those that are seeking the truth, is who he will provide the comfort to. If we are seeking the truth ourselves, then it is the Comforter that will provide that assistance in our understanding of the truth. We must be then seeking truth. We must, as some of these other verses have described to us, we must be contrite and humble in our attitude, in our spirit, in our own spirit, in order to receive the comfort that is offered by the Holy Spirit. Our third question is, how will the comfort of the Holy Spirit be manifested? How will it be revealed? How will we know that this is being done? We've seen the roles. We've seen what he's doing. We've seen the who of the question. And now we look at the how. In John the 14th chapter, verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." From the scriptures, we can find and receive assurance of the plans and purposes of God. God will provide what he has said he will provide. And the Spirit is there to provide that. But when we see that, when we have that assurance, it is through the Holy Spirit that we're receiving it. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, we read, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We can be freed from fear and anxiety. We can be free from the overwhelming effect that fear has in our life, because it is the Holy Spirit that is providing that comfort and easing us out of that. That's how we know, and that's how it is manifested. That's how it is revealed to us. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 27, we read this earlier, but reading it again, it says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He helps us in our prayer. We may feel inadequate in wording a prayer. We may feel as though we can't accomplish what we want to accomplish in our prayers. But when we understand that the Holy Spirit is there to intercede for us, to provide that translation, if you will, then we know that he is actively working for us. Look there in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 12 to 15, as we see that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is manifested in our own deeper intimacy with God, a deeper relationship with him. Romans 8, 12 says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We are adopted into the family of God. Adoption is a process by which that which did not belong now does. And so we have been moved from a time where we did not belong because we were bound in sin, where we were in bondage. We've now been removed from that to have an intimate relationship with God, in that we have this close personal relationship with him, and that is brought about, that is manifested through what the Holy Spirit is doing. It says here, if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, it is required that we put to death or to extinguish, to stop doing the deeds of the body in order to be led by the Spirit of God. And once we have made that choice, then we can see that in our lives. Romans 5 and verse 5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." An extension or a part of that relationship, that close relationship with God, is that we participate in his love. Now, he loved us before we were in a position to love him back. He loved us first, as the scripture says. But it is through the Holy Ghost that his love is given to us. And so we can see from these verses here just how important the role and the function of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Look in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. It speaks about the unity within the body of Christ in this passage, and it says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or the manifestation of the comfort provided by the Holy Spirit, the aid, the advocacy, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, is presented within the body of Christ. The unity that exists within the body of Christ is established through the work of the Holy Spirit. When we look at these things, I think we can see then that the role of the Holy Spirit is vital to our spiritual well-being. The Holy Spirit is not something that we may understand as well as or is even presented in the scripture as much as other parts of the whole of the Godhead. Certainly, the life of Jesus is well documented in scripture. The relationship that God has had with his people throughout ages is documented in the scriptures. There's relatively little in the scriptures about the Holy Spirit. We've not touched on all of the things that the Holy Spirit has done, but when it comes to his role in our lives, we find that these verses address many of these topics. We could spend more time looking at some of the other things that that the Holy Spirit has done, such as creation, but we've not covered those today. So as we conclude our thoughts, we can see that the comfort of the Holy Spirit that he provides is not so much an arm around our shoulders as we might think of comfort, but it is advocacy, intercession, guidance, and yet all of this is at a personal level, not a professional, distant, or business level. It is very personal because we can see these things happening in our lives. This advocacy and intercession we have through the Holy Spirit brings about assurances that we will not find anywhere else. We can't turn to other places and other people or other ways in our lives to gain the assurance that we have through what the Holy Spirit provides. The comfort that he provides is singular and doesn't exist anywhere else. The roles that the Holy Spirit performs are varied and supply us with comfort in different areas of our spiritual lives. We all face different components, different issues in life. We have different temptations, we have different need for guidance, but yet the Holy Spirit is there to provide that comfort at whatever level we need. I hope that the things that we've looked at this afternoon and this evening have been helpful in understanding the various roles and function of the Holy Spirit. As I was preparing, the thing that came to mind when I started looking into this was just the word comfort. What comfort is there that he's providing? And through looking at these scriptures, I think we can see that the comfort of the Holy Spirit is one that is important in our lives. At this time, we'd like to offer the invitation to any who have a matter to be brought before this congregation, whether it's a desire to be baptized and be added to the Lord's church and therefore participate in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, or if you have another matter to be brought before this congregation. If either is the case, would you come forward as we stand and sing?